This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, welcome back. It's hour number four, the G-Bag Nation here, as we'll have a little Mavs unofficial postgame show here for you. They improved to 43-30 in one of the most unlikely victories here. So the last two games have been incredible as another comeback victory, this time without Luka, without KP, without Dodo. It was Boban with 20 points, 9 rebounds, Steph Curry with 22 points, Tim Hardaway Jr. with 27, J.J. Barea with 18 points, and they come back with a 34-14 fourth quarter and beat the Utah Jazz 122-114 the final. They improved to 3-3. In the bubble, and perhaps bringing your Mavs spirits up quite a bit here as they'll get back at it tomorrow at 5 o'clock against the Trailblazers on TXA 21.
They were getting blown out, and either one of two things happened. The Mavericks refused to quit. They have the heart of a champion, and the role players stepped up and did what it took to get a W because they wanted it, or Utah laid down because they're trying to play Denver and they want no part of Houston. They're not trying to move up. That's all I'm saying.
Either or, I would choose to believe that, you know, it was the Mavs night. You know, 56% from the floor, 50% from three.
Imagine how good that group could be if they traded Luka and KP. You know, really, yeah. Add to that group.
Going there, huh?
Yeah, JJ and Boban lead the way.
But the Utah side of the box score, Jeff, definitely supports your theory when you look at the starting lineup for the Jazz, all playing minutes in the teens.
Hey, but I support these things. I think this is what late season is all about. You are where you are. You start looking at your schedule. You start looking at the standings. And if you have a preference, by God, you try to make it happen for yourself.
There is still a possibility if the Mavs win their remaining two games against the Trailblazers and Suns. I think a couple of teams need to flat out lose out. And you could end up with a lot of different scenarios are still mathematically in play. So for the long shot of not playing the Clippers, that was a good break for you. And we'll see. Denver has a couple of big games, including Denver Clippers Wednesday night. So, I mean, to me, that would be outstanding to get to avoid the Clippers and have a shot of taking the Denver Nuggets to 6 or 7 games or even winning that series. You know, I think that is there in the cards. But really unbelievable when you look at, you know, who the Mavs are being asked to play here. Justin Jackson, Michael Kidd-Gilchrist with 18 minutes, Trey Burke with 24, DeLon Wright with 19. Josh Reeves gets out there and gets 14 minutes. I don't know the last time I saw him out there in a Mavs game, but it was good enough today to beat the Utah Jazz. And now I think, you know, on top of that is the Mavs can start to shake off some of that negativity, some of that psychology, that negative psychology we're talking about late last week. Not only losing close games, but just the overall, man, we've come out after 3.5 months, and it looks like the veteran teams are really taking it to us. Are we really that good? You know, last week I was talking about the Mavs front office really has some hard questions to ask themselves about the role players on this team. Well, what'd the role players go out there and do today? You know, they won a basketball game. I think buoyed the ship. Good for your confidence now going into these final couple of games. And you get your star players back tomorrow against a Trailblazers team that is feeling it. I mean, it's they're having a lot of fun. Carmelo Anthony yesterday moving to 15th all-time in a game. They saw Damian Lillard go for 51 points. So there's a lot of energy going on with a couple of different teams. And now the Mavs have some positive energy flowing.
I think it was perfect for the Mavericks because I don't think I've got to worry at all about the confidence level of Luka Doncic. And I'm not worried about KP at all with the way that he's played. It's just a matter of, can your extra guys be good enough to make you a real contender here, or are you going to kind of continue to be what you've been in the bubble for the majority of the time? And there's nothing better than sending them out there without the two best players, because the Mavericks didn't care if they won this game. You know, they want to win. They want their guys to play the best that they can, but they didn't care if they won this game. That's, they announced that by resting their two best players. And the fact that your other guys were able to play well enough to win, hopefully that's really good for their confidence going forward.
All right, it is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan, and salute to the Mavs. The real biggest story nationally all day long, it really kicked off over the weekend, was what's going to happen with the world of college football. And the latest is Scott Frost, coach at Nebraska, saying in a conference call this afternoon, we're a proud member of the Big Ten. We want to play a Big Ten schedule. I think the only reason we would look at any other options is if for some reason the Big Ten wasn't playing and only a handful of teams from the Big Ten wanted to continue playing. If that's the case, we're prepared to look at any and all options. Scott Frost says, oh, yeah. So what do you do if you're the Big Ten and some of your member universities want to go out on their own? Can you stop them? Would you want to stop them?
I think you'd have to stop them. I really do. I don't think that you can allow, you know, that there's a lot of history with these conferences, the Big Ten especially, with what they've done over the years and stuff like that. And, you know, these coaches have got to make the decisions. They could talk tough right now and say, yeah, if we have to play at Michigan, or if we have to play at Ohio State, or we have to play at Nebraska, we'll do whatever we have to do. You just don't know the ramifications. You're a football coach, okay?
Yeah.
You don't know all the back room dealings of your conference and what things are tied to you being in the Big Ten. You know, I mean, Nebraska doesn't have a long history of being in the Big Ten. You know, they really don't. But Michigan does, Ohio State does, you know, all these other schools do. And so I think these coaches can talk about, yeah, and they have to put that out for their kids. They have to say, yeah, we'll play. We want to play. We're for you. What are they going to say, like, no, we're not going to play? You know, you guys came in, you did everything we asked you to do, but you know what? We're just going to call this one off. I think the coaches have to put up a front as being, we can do this. But there are too many things back room that they don't know about,
so
that they can't do.
Even if the coach had support of the athletic director and the president, you think there would be Big Ten ties?
You would see Michigan's AD. You would see Ohio State's AD. You would see other ADs come out and say, listen, we're not going to play. Our president's voted, but by God, I'm getting on the phone with the ACC. I'm getting on the phone with the SEC. I'm getting on the phone with the Big 12. And we haven't seen that. We haven't seen that, and I don't think these athletic directors can do that, you know, with all the tie-ins that they have.
Okay,
I think you're breaking contracts.
Could Nebraska and Iowa play each other 10 times, and the winner is the Big Ten champion?
Yeah, Ohio State and Michigan want to play too. You could just alternate,
Army,
little round
80,
robin
yeah.
situation.
There you go. Let's get it.
I don't know. I'm really interested to see how they are going to react. Are you guys sure the ACC, SEC, and Big 12 are going to move ahead and play a season?
Well, I think the SEC is in a mode now. Greg Starkey, Snarky, I think you say Snarky.
Snarky?
Starkey?
No way.
Yeah, it's something like that. I mean, but Sankey, I think, is. I always jack names up. I apologize. But he's the director of the SEC, and he's always taken the approach of, okay, it's almost like they're slow to react. You know, I mean, he's been getting advice that, hey, don't be so quick here. Don't be the team that, don't be that guy that jumps out real fast. And that's what he's living by right now. So I have a feeling that he's talked to his guy, his counterpart. Matter of fact, the guy at the ACC is about to leave. That guy is, he's done. So this might be his last hurrah here as we talk. But I have a feeling the SEC is one of those teams. They are a big, big wait and see, because they're in a situation where that is a ton of money. A ton of money with those schools.
So Frost went on to say, our university, I know where our university president stands, and he wants to play. I do think this could really be an opportunity for some schools to change conferences.
Oh, they
again.
Voted.
I know we went through this 10 years
they
ago.
They voted to play. Nebraska's president voted to play. They were one of the two.
I think Iowa was the second one.
Absolutely.
Come on home, Nebraska. I know where you could play. You just tell the Big Ten, you know, you guys aren't serving our university needs anymore. We'll see you in court if you want to sue us. We're leaving.
Well, you could get a situation where now all these Power 5 teams, this is the thing I talked about earlier. Could these Power 5 teams say, fine, we're going to dissolve the Big Ten. We're leaving. You know, this might be the straw. You want to sue us? Go ahead. We're leaving.
Go ahead, Jeff.
You can make this make sense. Just live in fantasy world with me for a minute here. You take the Big 12 and you do North and South. The South is Texas, Texas Tech, Baylor, TCU, Oklahoma, Oklahoma State. The North would be Iowa State, Kansas, West Virginia, Kansas State, Iowa, Nebraska. And if I need to move one more south to bring Ohio State and Michigan to the north, I can do this. I can
bring Colorado back while you're at it. Bring Colorado back.
Whoever wants in, I can make this work.
The North is terrible. That's a terrible conference.
Well, they get Michigan and Ohio State if they come.
Oh, okay. Okay. I see.
Yeah.
See, that's what I'd be thinking.
Oklahoma.
If I'm the Big 12 Commissioner Bowlesby right now, if I'm in charge of the SEC, ACC, I'm getting after it. I'm burning up those phone lines. We're closing deals. We had our exodus 10 years ago. It's time for payback, mofos. Y'all are scared of Corona. Let's
do
it.
You guys being responsible in a pandemic, watch me poach your teams. Let's go.
Dude, it's happening in sports all over the country. If you don't want to practice during Corona, your players are getting scooped. Okay. I do want to call BS on this idea that kids would be safer on campus playing football than they would be at home. You can go home in quarantine.
Yeah, it just depends
at a
on
university,
the kid.
There's dorms, there's players everywhere. We're going to get together with 100 kids from the other parts of the country and roll around on them in a football field for 4 hours. That idea is BS.
But the kids are saying that, General. The kids are even saying that.
The kids want to play.
Okay,
the kids don't know.
But the kids are admitting that they feel safer on campus than they do at home.
Well, I don't trust their judgment. I've been in
the
real world.
Thing. Cromartie said it this morning, too. Antonio Cromartie.
I don't buy,
I know
I don't
that for a lot
either.
Of kids. Okay. All right.
Yeah. I mean, there might be some kids who are going to go home and, sure, it's crowded at home. I'm quarantining. But you're talking about kids getting together on campus. There's going to be school parties and school functions. There's thousands of kids everywhere.
But
I can go home and just stay home.
Yeah, but these football departments can quarantine their kids on campus if they want to.
And they can test you.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. I mean, I'm just
and at home, are you once a week going to a football stadium to roll around with seven?
No,
of the
but
other
you're
dudes?
Going out and getting hammered with your buddies
you?
At bars and stuff.
That's,
sure
is that
are.
Not is that not happening at the university?
But if they're making sure at the university you're not going out, if you're making guys accountable, it's like the Cleveland Indians thing. They sent the guy home. They said, "Oh, you want to go out and get drunk? Well, fine, go home. We don't need you in our we don't need you in the bubble anymore. We don't need you with our team." These kids.
Yeah, that's a reach.
It's not a reach at all. These kids get watched. They get looked after better at school than they do at home.
How can you say that about their parents?
General, trust me, I've recruited in a lot of homes. A lot of homes. Mom does the best she can. There's a lot of moms that are happy that her son has a bed, a room, books, clothes, an opportunity. A lot better than being at home. Trust me, I've lived this. This is one of those times where my experience of being around and recruiting kids, there are moms that are happy that their son has an opportunity to go to university. And that's
sure.
why you get in a situation where as a coach, you have to convince that mom, you promise that mom, I'll take care of your kid. That's my job. I'll take care of you. I'll make sure he's taken care of.
That's just going to have to be one of those that we agree to disagree on, Brian.
Absolutely.
I think those parents are doing a hell of a job.
You're right.
That's why over 99% of those kids that are on campus don't do anything wrong. They're responsible.
If they put them in a setting where they're all together and they have to look out for each other, they're absolutely in the best setting they could
be. Well,
I
mean, in Major League Baseball, we've already seen it two times already.
Those are professional athletes.
I know,
athletes.
And they had outbreaks happening while they're trying to be careful, and MLB's cracking down on them. They're still having outbreaks because they're getting together as a team and hanging out. You know, if you wanted to say, if you go home and run around town socializing
they
like
will.
Crazy.
They will.
How do you know that?
They will, General.
How do you know that?
They're kids. They're kids. If you put them in a setting where they have an opportunity to like look out for each other and be responsible for each other, they'll make it work. I've seen it. I've seen it with my own eyes. I've seen that team setting works.
Okay. All right. Well, I will agree to disagree with you on this one.
Likewise.
Rangers host the Mariners tonight, 8:05 first pitch. The sweep of the Angels now in the rear view. Rangers are 6-8. They are in playoff position, even though technically their record is ninth best in the AL. The way the wild cards work, they'd be in there. The Mariners are 6-11, so heck of an opportunity to keep this streak going. Kyle Gibson today, Mike Minor still looking for his first win. That'll be tomorrow. Jordan Lyles on Wednesday. All right, when we come back, G-Bag Nation, what would be the fallout from – oh, we just talked about that. What would be the fallout from no college football season? Let's talk about the Stars. They won yesterday, a late goal, and then in a shootout they beat the Blues. That was fun. Do we have hope for the Stanley Cup playoffs with this team, or is it all too little too late? That's coming up next with G-Bag Nation. Welcome back, G-Bag Nation. Hope you're having a fantastic day. I want to ask you a Cowboys question. We'll get to your answers here on the AutoFlex Leasing Fan Text, 877-881-1053. Please leave your name and city you're texting from. We'll make you famous here in the G-Bag Nation. What would a successful Cowboys season look like in your opinion? Text in at 877-881-1053. What's it got to be? Segment here is brought to you by Rubin and Associates. If you're drowning in debt, call our guy Mark Rubin, 800-LAWYERS. He'll talk with you personally, take control of your debt, eliminate your stress, and allow you to live life again. Starts with a simple and confidential phone call to Mark Rubin at 1-800-LAWYERS. Before we get to these Cowboy thoughts and what a successful season would be, gentlemen, Sean Shapiro in The Athletic writing about the Dallas Stars and the headline, "The Stars need Ben and Sagan to flip a switch." What if that switch isn't there anymore? That is the headline that, you know, that, hey, Sagan at 28, Ben at 31, we need them to be the engine that drives their lines to get goals. What if they just can't do it anymore? And how possible is that? They won so many games, but boy, they've lost a lot. And that 1-1 tie that ended in a shootout victory over the weekend, that was fun. But it doesn't alleviate your concerns at all. It would, in fact, make them worse because that's the only way you can win a game right now.
The idea that that switch doesn't exist anymore, I think, is definitely realistic for Jamie Benn. I think it doesn't take long to recognize that it was 6 years ago that he led the NHL in points. That was in 2014-2015. And his last two seasons, his points on the season have gone from 79 to 53 to 39.
Got old in a hurry.
Yeah, he did.
Hips got old on him.
Big guy, played physical.
Always.
I think it's totally possible that Jamie Benn, maybe he can capture it for moments, but he's not the player that he once was. I don't know if the same is true about Tyler Seguin, but for Benn, completely, which I hate because he's one of my favorite players of all time because I love when you have a captain who can score goals and when the team needs it is willing to punch somebody in the face. That's my dude. He ain't what he was.
Yeah, he could beat up anybody on the other team and score against you. He was great. You know, to me, he was the ultimate superstar there for a while, and I'm willing to accept it at 31. Maybe he's going to go into more beating people up than scoring goals for the next couple of years. That's fine. But with Sagan at 28 years old, that's the Zeke conversation right there, is Uptown taking production? You know, is there something to the lifestyle that's preventing him? He just signed an 8-year deal that made him the 14th highest player in hockey, $13.5 million per year. And the number Sean Shapiro put out kind of defines him as the 40th most efficient forward in the NHL. That ain't good.
Yeah, he goes long stretches without points and stuff, and I think that's been a problem. And I think that Shapiro points out, you know, those are your two, the guys that are going to get the most attention, you know. But I think the problems are deeper than that. You know, when you watch them play, they look very disjointed the way they play. When they rush the ice, when they come up the ice, you know, there's really no continuity to it. You know, it's like they may make one or two passes, maybe one too many. You know, even on the power play, some of the things they were doing yesterday, Ben did a great job of getting in front, screening. That's something that's very positive. But this is a group. I think Shapiro's pointing the fingers at two guys that, you know, that fans, it's easy to say, okay, yeah, those are the two stars. But there's it's deeper than that when you look at this team. And, you know, I mean, they've had some opportunities. They had some opportunities yesterday in the nine-game losing streak. Watched a lot of those games. They're, offensively, they struggled. It just wasn't Ben, and it just wasn't Sagan that was struggling. You know, the whole unit, the whole team was struggling. I think they were struggling with the coaching change, too, to be honest with you.
So what do you think happened with that awesome run where they were the best team in hockey over like 75 days?
I think the coaching, you know, people will say that it's like if you look at the numbers that they're the same. But I think that took them back a little bit. I think that Rick Bowness, I think he wanted to play a specific style. He tried to say, oh, well, this is Dallas Stars hockey. And then it's like, oh, we take a bunch of shots. And then the next night, oh, we're not taking enough shots. You know, we're not passing it around enough, you know. I mean, it just seemed like there was a stretch there where they really struggled with their identity. And Bowness, he talks about it all the time. He talked about it yesterday after the game. He said, now that's Dallas Stars hockey. That's what we're supposed to do and all that. And I'm like, what? Be bad on the special teams?
Is that like four or five goals to be Dallas Stars hockey.
Yeah, exactly.
But they tried that version of Dallas Stars hockey. And I think that's why they've morphed into what they've morphed into is that version of Dallas Stars hockey was winning you regular season games, you're getting to the postseason, and teams were dumping in the puck, leaning on you, and kicking your butt physically.
Yeah.
And so they wanted to become a team that was like, no, we're going to do what the other good teams do. We're going to play the puck forward. We're going to be physical. We're going to lean on you. It's not about flying openly up and down the ice. And now you look at it and you're like, holy cow, this team can't score.
Yeah, they didn't anticipate that emphasizing defense a little bit would leave them exposed on offense. And I don't know how they could have anticipated. Obviously, they had to make a switch in their identity because they were – you know, too one-dimensional, and now it's bounced back the other way. I guess I'll still have faith, but to me, it has all the telltale signs of that disappointing team, and I suppose we'll hope that they do match up well against Calgary and can sort of change how we're looking at them right now. I did see Calgary a slight favorite to win this series. All right, it is the G-Bag Nation here on 105 through the Fan. We have the Autoflex Leasing Fan Text open for you, and I'd love to get your thoughts on what you think a successful Cowboys season would look like. Talk expectations with you. Do leave your name and city you're texting from. Success in 2020. They've had this window open for 6 years. They've never gotten to an NFC championship game in this stretch. I feel like the team has taken maybe a slight step back on paper, but it's still there. I'm just trying to decide, is this a team that should have gotten there already, or have these last 6 years shown us they're just not that good? How many more seasons of not making the NFC Championship game with a great offensive line and some other good parts do we need to see before we say, listen, this team just ain't getting there?
This team's good. I think that there is enough, for me anyway, that when we're going through the roster ranking stuff the other day, I thought they were way too low on the Cowboys at tight end and they were too high at linebacker. So whatever, let's move both of those bars. According to people, that still makes the Cowboys one of the two best rosters in football. And even if it's not that high, I think it's no doubt top four or five. So the idea that you couldn't find your way to a title game over, forget the last 4 or 5 years, the last 25, but this is a good roster. With a good quarterback, good offensive line, elite weapons, and if you can just be okay at the other facets of the game, to me it'll be a successful season if they get to the NFC title game. And I kind of hate doing that because I am more so the get in the tournament and see what happens because I don't think the best team in football wins the Super Bowl every year. The Chiefs weren't the best team in football all year. They played the best for a half at a time when they needed to be able to win the games to win the Super Bowl. But Baltimore was the best team all year, and they didn't win the Super Bowl. So it's really whoever plays well for a month once you get in there, and are you capable of beating those teams?
Yeah.
The Cowboys are a good football team. So to me, that is where the bar should be, is we expect to be in the second round of the postseason, and it'll be successful if we get to the NFC title game.
Yeah, but we're picking them to win 9 games, aren't we?
No, I'll pick them to win 10, and see, if it's not 10, I would go 11.
See, that's what I'm saying, though. If your expectations are 9 or 10 wins, is that really the team with the best roster?
Well, it's because I'm a coward.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm a coward.
No, I appreciate you admitting it.
Yeah, this team could easily win 12 games.
Yeah.
Last year, they should have won 10. And I think they're better this year, and they're better coached this year.
That's why I'm hanging my hat on, guys. That's what I'm hanging my hat. For 3 years at DallasCowboys.com, I tried to get that guy fired, you know, and it finally happened, you know. And so, you know, it's a situation where I felt like that, like you guys were talking about, there's talent on this roster. I believe that the coach, even though he had a hand in putting it together, you know, good for him, but I also feel like that he also was the handicap for those guys too. I think that if they had, that's why I'm fascinated to see this coach. If this coach can, in fact, now I don't need this coach to be lazy like he was the last 3 years in Green Bay, you know, where he let a quarterback beat him down, you know, and he said, okay, fine, I'll, you know. I don't need that guy. I need the guy that was out of football, that's hungry, that wants to push this thing, you know, make people accountable, find a way to win a game or two on your own, just out coaching somebody. But I'm looking forward to seeing something different than what I've seen the last 10 years.
If you were tuned in last hour, you heard Jeff and Brian's segment of the day. They went over Bill Barnwell's article. He deals with, you know, points difference and close game record, and he picks the Cowboys as the number one candidate in all of the NFL to have a better year this year than they did last year. And that is one of the best barometers, what Barnwell thinks of you. If you were in that article predicted to decline, there's about an 80% chance it's going to happen. And the opposite is also true. What do you think a success would be, though? I think getting back to the divisional round fairly to them would be a success, considering they were a non-playoff team. I think getting to the NFC Championship game would be a bonus at this point, and getting to the Super Bowl would be awesome. What gets a Dak deal done? Does the NFC Championship game, the Jason Garrett bar, get a four-year deal done with Dak at 38 or 39 million?
Yeah, I think so. I think that right there, you just back the truck up. If they get to the NFC Championship game, say they lose in that game, you definitely have seen now that it's like, okay, we've got the weapons, let's keep the quarterback. If you're getting the championship game, you obviously had a good season. And had a good run in the playoffs, and Dak has proven, you know, the Jerry Jones Monday morning meeting is like, whoa, I was really wrong about Dak. You know, Dak, I think that Jerry Jones signs that check if in fact that's what Dak's plan is to be here.
It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105 through the Fan, and the text is open at 877-881-1053. They're still talking about the college players discussion that we got into it pretty good about 15, 20 minutes ago.
Yeah.
Let's see here. Do we got some good Cowboys ones coming in? Get to the NFC Championship game at a minimum, says Jeff. I hope you guys are right and I am wrong out of the 972. I was thinking 8-8.
8-8 would equal a quarterback change.
Yeah, I don't think
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I think they would move on. Maybe tag and trade if they could.
Yep.
4-6-9, at least win two playoff games. Bleep. The season hasn't started, and I'm already annoyed. LOL.
Oh, no.
Michael from Kaufman, Texas, NFC Championship game at least. 10-6 is a must. Win two playoff games. Yeah, you go out there and you lose wild card weekend. Yeah. I think it's who knows what happens with Dak. And is it a success? No. You win wild card. You're in the division. Dak throws for like 4,500 yards and 30 touchdowns. It's a tag. And we'll see what happens next year. NFC Championship game, 5,000 yards, 35 touchdowns. That is, here's your blank check, Dak. You win. You
MVP
bet on yourself.
MVP conversation, all those things. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
You got it. But, I mean, a playoff year is so much better than a non-playoff year. And we're still in the mode of appreciating that because of the last 20 years. We're not in a position where it's like, oh, you made the playoffs, arms crossed, what are you going to do now? The Cowboys aren't good enough to do that. So for me, you make the playoffs, you're taking me on a ride, you're giving me hope. I'm waking up on wild card weekend thinking, yeah, this is what being a sports fan is all about. I would take that. I would be disappointed when the night's over, but shoot. I mean, a non-playoff season is the pits. From about week 7 on, it's just like, forget this. Let's get to the draft.
I tell you what, the thing about it is, do we give them a pass if it turns into a pandemic season? You know,
yes.
What I'm saying?
If you miss
like you lose
major
key players.
If all of a sudden Dak is throwing to jobbers, you know, like he was before Amari Cooper came and, you know, Zeke's out and they're missing Zach Martin, you know.
I could see a no answer towards the end of the year for quite a few
like
teams.
Like a no answer. Yeah, no answer. And then, you know, we're going to tag you and we're going to try and do this again. That I could see that.
Yeah. It'd be really interesting to see. You know, I'm keeping my fingers crossed right now for 12 games with two-week outages where we're like, guys, we got to call a timeout, everybody back to your quarantine, and we'll regroup when everybody's on the other side of the virus. So
I just don't know why they just don't say, you know what, we're not going to play those games against the AFC. I think you just need to play conference games. I mean, if you could just eliminate those, and then as we go along, the times when you were supposed to play somebody in the AFC, maybe you make that a bye, or you know, you give your team a chance to regroup.
Yeah. Floating buys, I think you'd have to do it because you don't know when it's going to hit.
Yes, yeah.
And you wouldn't want to take time off when it hasn't hit yet. You
right.
want to be able to say, we ain't playing this weekend.
Right.
We'll see in 2.5 weeks.
Right.
Okay, it's time for Jeff's unnamed segment. Where the heck are we going with that, sir?
And this is why we don't talk about people's mamas. It's next.
Thank you very much, Lucius. Here he is, Kavanaugh.
Hey, guys. Today's lesson is this is why we do not talk about people's mamas, okay? You guys see the Astros and the Oakland Athletics, little dust up. You see the dust up there?
Yeah.
Did, yes.
Outfielder Ramon Laureano charging at the Houston dugout because the Houston hitting coach, they were giving each other the business a little bit. Well, let's take you step by step about what happened and why we had to attempt fisticuffs, okay? So, our guy Laureano gets hit by a pitch for the third time in the game. Or third time in the series, second time in the game. And so he's looking at the pitcher, Castellanos, and with his hand, he's like showing him, this is how you do your hand if you want to throw a slider. Like, that didn't break. Do this. And so the Astros bench got mad at him for telling the pitcher how to throw a slider since he just beamed him. And so Laureano's like, all right, so now I'm on my way to first base. And the hitting coach, Alex Cintron, utters an expletive at me. I returned it to him. Said, why don't you have one of the same? He said, Laureano says, then Mr. Batting Coach said in Spanish something you don't say about my mother.
Uh-oh.
So after
that. She wears
that,
combat boots?
Maybe. He says, your mom wears combat boots. And then he steps out of the first base dugout and does the come get some motion. And so, Laureano, now that we know these charges that have been levied, I believe that no suspension is in order, and we should be able to let these two have fisticuffs before the next time that these two played. The interesting thing is that Laureano is a former Astro, and he's like, no, you don't understand, guys. Like, I love those players. Like, a lot of those guys were my teammates. They're my friends. And so he started talking about his parents because he's like, yeah, the dude talked about my mom. Mm. And he says he was sent to high school in the United States as a teenager without knowing a word of English. The only child of his mom, Nina and Ramon, he said his parents are responsible for his career. He said, every day I wake up with the motivation to be with them. They sacrificed their life for me. They made the tough decision to let their own kid go to the States by himself and follow his dreams. I've been away from my family for 10 years. It's tough to be away from them. Any chance I have to be with them, I feel like I'm in heaven. So for him to say that to me about my mom, it doesn't sit well. I've got a fire inside me right away in that second. And he said, yeah, I'm friends with all these guys. The other days I've been on base, we've been chit-chatting, talking about life and family on the bases. Everything's great. I get along with everybody on the Astros. For instance, catcher Dustin Garneau, who's the guy that tackled him before he reached their hitting coach. He said, he was protecting me 100% the whole time. I really feel the respect. He's one of the best teammates I've ever had. He protected me. We were down on the pile. He said to me, you good? I said, thank you. Thank you. He said, don't worry. Ultimately, he wishes he'd chosen not to run towards the Astros dugout and waste his time on Cintron. He says, I regret charging him because he's a loser. The suspension is understandable, but I hope it's not that many games. So you mentioned his mama, and you came out of the dugout, and you said, come get some, and he came to get some. And as in true Astros fashion, the coach jumped behind a bunch of players and was a coward. So that's your Astros update of the day.
Yeah, I love the guy that's willing to run into like three or four different guys. You know, like
it's
I'm willing
very
to fight
John
all
Snow.
Of you.
It was very Jon Snow, Game of Thrones, pulling the sword, and the entire horde is charging him. He was like, "Yeah, fine. If I look, I'm coming at you. If 30 of you are coming, 30, you can get this. Let's get
now,
it.
Now, in my adult life, very, very peaceful, non-fighter. When I was in my adolescence, I was that guy. And then I kept not only not beating up the three or four people, but just one of them could take me.
Yep,
so I learned my lesson. I wonder how guys like Laureano have gone through life, because that's not the first time a dude like that's tried it. Are people successful in these ventures, or do they just not care that four people are going to hold me down and the guy I'm trying to beat up might kick me in the face?
I think in that moment you don't know, right?
Okay.
Because in that moment I'm blinded by rage. This man has walked out of the dugout and told me to come get some, and he said my mom wears combat boots. So,
you got no flight in there. It's all fight.
Yeah, because all you see is him, and you're like, sweet, and he wants to throw down? Cool, let's get it. And so you start running, and then as you get about three steps away is when you realize, what in the world? Six people have shown up between me. I came here for him. What are you guys doing? And now the whole thing is thrown off. But I think in that initial moment, the only thing you're thinking is, oh, he wants to go. And he's actually walking. I'm going to get to kick this guy's ass. This is incredible. But then you realize on your way over, when a bunch of people jump in the way, you're like, oh, this is just going to be a baseball thing.
Have you guys ever been in a fight where you grabbed a guy and that guy got hit that you grabbed?
No.
Never have?
Probably.
I did. I was in one of those one time. I grabbed a guy and he got hit, and I let him go, and I helped him beat the shit out. Oh, sorry.
Oh! Lucius is not on the... No!
No!
Five, four, three...
There's one in the boss's office.
I got it. I had my finger on it.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
good job.
I knew where it was.
All right. I'm sorry. Nice work. I don't think you finished the word anyway.
I don't think I did either. I hit it.
Only 96%. The last letter, you only got 70%.
No, I did. I hit the button, though, that whole time.
You're holding the guy back? Your buddy?
I grabbed a buddy to keep from having the fight, right? Yeah. And then all of a sudden, he got hit. And I let him go, and we both went after the guy. Because I was trying to like, hey, no. And then the guy jumped up and hit him. Mm. And I felt terrible, and I went with him. I'm like, that's not.
I guess it's a two-on-one now.
Yeah. Gosh, guys, I'm sorry about
that.
Got what
you signed up for.
Yeah.
Well, that file's going to get a little thicker over there at HR, Brodus.
I know. I hit the button. I had the button. I had my hand on the button. I think we're okay.
That's responsible broadcasting.
Yeah, I knew. I learned my lesson. Yeah.
Other story of the day. Now, this one I have not confirmed. This is just a story that's an accusation at this point. But a lady named Jamie, who writes for, according to her Twitter, Business Insider.
Yeah.
And she's got a blue check mark. So I have every reason to believe that what she's reporting is factual. This is a tweet thread. Mm-hmm. It says, y'all, my girlfriend lives in the Hamptons. Her 20-year-old son has been living with them since March. He's a junior, going back to school. She was cleaning his room and found $100,000 in cash. 20-year-old son, been off in college, staying at the house right now because of the COVID, found $100,000 in cash in his room.
Mm.
She thinks what every parent thinks.
Drug dealer.
Must be investing really well. So she says they went through the whole, it must be drugs, or he must have stolen it, but no. Are you ready? His father forced him to tell the truth. Said he was going to call the cops and would turn the money in.
Uh-huh.
His son confessed that in early April, he struck up a conversation with a rich older woman at a local sandwich and seafood shop about how he'd tested negative for the COVID and was relieved to be staying on the island and out of the city.
Okay.
He said she paid for her large order in all $100 bills and then asked him if he needed to make money for the summer. She and her friends were looking for a young man to help out who didn't have the COVID. Long story short, he was smashing the rich older ladies for cash.
Okay.
Basically, he was the Hamptons hoe.
Very nice.
And raised all cash, $5,000 a pop.
Oh, my God.
From April to August. And my friend is devastated, and I'm like, he's a whole Patrick Dempsey, which I don't know what that reference is. If it said Dustin Hoffman, that would make sense from the 1967.
Is Patrick Dempsey really handsome?
Yes.
Yeah,
he's a man.
Yeah.
All right.
And she's returning every single dollar, and he gets nothing and is going back to school penniless. and
what a horrible mom.
Discuss it again.
That's beat. Mom, what's your problem?
I mean, that is hard work.
Hey, yeah.
For real.
I mean, you could have a long talk about how I should never do this again and I should be ashamed of myself, but for the love of God, it's six figures, Ma.
Yeah, and you try this when you're in my – he's 20. He's in his prime, right?
Like he's
looking around at their granddaughters like, hey, what's she up to?
Oh, that's disgusting.
And there's this 77-year-old, and she's like, no, no, no. Why don't you come
– And how old was the kid? Just like 18 years old?
He's 20.
He's 20.
Yeah.
Yeah, knocking down all the grandmas up there in the Hamptons, $5,000 a pop.
What would you be your age limit if you're the kid, Patrick Dempsey Jr. over there?
It depends, but Lucius's would be the highest. Mine, I will say like 51, 2.
But $5,000, dude, at age 20? You're a college student? You know, and apparently this kid's pretty fiscally responsible there to have saved it all, didn't blow it all on these, Coke and good-looking women.
Yeah, these ladies are not in terrible shape, don't you think?
It's entirely possible that women in their 60s could still be reasonably attractive.
Tennis players,
And they're rich, so they probably, you know, might have tightened it up a little bit, took some stuff out of here, put it there.
Sure.
Never know. Could be in phenomenal shape. And a couple quick stories about dangerous animals. Don't know if you guys saw the video of the wild boar that stole a naked man's bag in Germany. Guy was at a lake in Germany.
Oh, no.
Wild boar grabs his bag. The bag has his laptop in it. And so he's like, oh, no, what is this? And so it's just a great video of a dude that's a little bit overweight, butt naked, chasing a giant boar who's got her two babies behind it. And he is just on the move. And eventually he did retrieve the bag, and he's been entertained by the pictures that were taken of him. The boars helped themselves to some pizza and then snagged his bag. So, yeah, just Google up man naked wild boar bag, and you'll find
it. Did they find it eventually?
Yeah, they got it. Yeah.
Good.
He got the laptop back. He was in hot pursuit. It was like a steeplechase event in the Olympics. Like, he was just, wherever that boar is going, I'm on the case. And he's just got, you know, blubber and twig and berries, just everything. I don't know why he was naked.
Yeah, I don't
know. Everybody
either.
Else there is clothed, but he's just screaming across their butt out, trying to run down his laptop. So a salute to him, because he did catch up to it.
Could you run totally naked without holding things, or would you have to hold things? That's what I'm wondering about. You know?
Depends how blessed you are.
Is it flopping and banging against your leg and getting hurt and all that?
I'm a grower.
That's what I'd be worried about.
You know, I could probably run. just depends.
All right, it is the G-Bag Nation on 105. I mean, I guess we were born that way.
Yeah.
You know?
Sure.
The creator of the universe did not know we were going to assemble clothes and drawers to keep things tight. So, yeah, I passed the test of time. Jared Sandler joins us to discuss how the Rangers keep the momentum rolling. They host the Mariners. It's next in the G-Bag Nation.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.